You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com. This episode of the Igniting Souls Show is part of our Ignited Entrepreneur series, where we get to talk with business professionals around the world who are on fire in their entrepreneurial journey. And I'm your host, Mike Dominey. Joining me today is Jim Baker, CEO of Sumas Development Group. Jim, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for joining me here today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I'm glad I could be here.
Now, Sumas Development Group, I was taking a look at your website, and you provide advisement in every vital area of business. And could you talk to us a little bit about how what your company does and how you came across the name Sumas Development Group? And we'll start from there.
Sure. So I prior to Sumas, I had my own company for 25 years. We were in the clinical research business, and I sold that business back in 2014. And like most people who have exits that are relatively young, and I, of course, view myself as being young, wanted to, you know, continue in the business world and help in other areas. And so I started up a company called Sumas. And basically, it's an advisory business. And it also is a an angel lending and an angel investment company as well. So if I'm working, let's say, with companies that are more in the startup phase, you know, where they've generated some revenue, they have a little bit of profit, but they're looking to get to the next level, but they don't want to go to private equity, or they don't want to, you know, go to mezzanine debt. They're just looking for a little bit of funding. I'll help them out with that. In return, usually I get a board seat for those efforts. And I've worked with companies in the healthcare industry and real estate and in actual hands-on healthcare also, you know, in addition to the services part that I was a part of myself years ago.
I love it. I love on the website how it explains Sumas means in Latin, if I'm correct, the sum of all parts.
Correct.
And so it sounds like you really take a holistic approach in your advisement to these businesses.
Yeah, I mean, I really try to, with the CEOs, try to really understand, you know, what is it your, what's your purpose, number one? Why are you doing what you're doing? And then number two, everybody's going to have an exit. Hopefully it's an exit of your choice. Unfortunately, sometimes owners don't have a choice. You know, business usually, you know, may fall apart, they may liquidate. And worse situations have occurred where, you know, I've had other colleagues of mine who own companies that unfortunately, you know, passed away, you know, during their while they had their business, and there was no exit plan, you know, in place. So what I try to do is really understand what the big picture is, what the purpose is, and then hopefully figure out the best way to solve, you know, that business problem that connects back to, you know, what that owner is ultimately trying to do.
Well, that's fascinating. I know a lot of our viewers are authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, speakers, all entrepreneurs in their own right. And so hearing you say the two main things that you look for is leading with the why, right? Knowing that purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? I know for some starting entrepreneurs, that may not be as clear as they want it to be. And I know that's such an important first step. Sometimes you just get caught up in the doing of it and you lose sight of that why. And then I want to lean into a little bit more about you talking about knowing your exit. That's not something I hear talked about very often. Could you elaborate a little bit more? I know you've touched on that a bit about are you saying that we need to, as an entrepreneur, have an idea of our exit strategy from this business that we're creating?
I think when you first start out, you know, a lot of people obviously don't think about exit. They're looking for clients or customers and, that are willing to pay them. And then they're looking to hopefully hone their operation to the point where they can actually make profit as well. And I think so initially it's not, you know, the exit isn't super important. But I think once you've attained revenue, once you've attained profit, once you've attained employees, especially once you actually have established a little bit of a market for yourself, then I think you really have to look at, especially if you have kids and you're, you know, you have a life, you know, on top of your business, you have to really look at, you know, what do I want to do with this business? You know, what is, again, what's my purpose? But also, you know, what is my purpose in life? And I think then you, that dictates really, you know, how you're going to operate your business and where you're going to go. And, you know, most cases, you know, it's a time frame. So when I had my company, for example, you know, I always knew over time that once it got going, that I didn't want to just hand it down to my kids, for example. I wanted my kids to find their own way in life and do their own thing. So I knew I wanted to have an exit at some point in time. So we then developed that strategy where, you know, over a period of 7 to 10 years, you know, we were able to achieve that exit.
Oh, that's fascinating. That makes a lot of sense. It's a great perspective that it's not so much a trying to get out of what I started, but it's actually another just goal that you've set in mind. And I think that's a great perspective for these entrepreneurs to have.
Yeah. And to simplify it, it's kind of no different than owning your own house. I mean, if you own a house, you know, it's going to get sold at some point in time, whether you're in it or not. Well, that's the same thing with a business. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you own that house, you want to have that choice of being able to sell and maybe downsize when you get older, or, you know, upgrade to a different house down the road. But hopefully you're maximizing that asset. And it's the same thing with your business. You just want to be in a position where when you do exit, you've maximized that asset. So you have that benefit when you do sell.
I love that analogy of your business being like a house and knowing that you're not going to live there forever. What are you going to do when that time comes? That's a really helpful analogy, I think, for our listeners here. I appreciate that, man. When did you first consider yourself an entrepreneur? You mentioned you started another business a number of years ago. When did you first feel that spark as an entrepreneur?
Probably, you know, within, you know, the first couple of years of starting the business. You know, I had worked for a corporation for about a year and a half, and then you know, moved into the we had a couple of name changes along the way, but, you know, started out as a recruiter and doing my own thing, 100% commission, all that good stuff. And, you know, I realized probably in year two, I hired a researcher, you know, to work for me, and then, you know, she was making money for herself, but she was also making more money for me. I kind of realized at that point in time that I really liked owning my own business. And, you know, I felt that I was entrepreneurial at that point in time. And, you know, and then, you know, because of that, I ended up joining YEO, which is now called EO. You know, got involved with other investments, you know, along the way as well, where they were in effect, you know, trying to get some of these companies that were starting up successful down the road. So, you know, probably 2 years into it, I guess, is a very long way of answering that question.
Oh, that's interesting. I know some entrepreneurs really feel like they're an entrepreneur even before they start anything. They just, you know, want to not work the regular hourly job. And so it's also interesting to hear in your position being into it and then eventually realizing you that freedom of purpose that you get to experience kind of fuels you to like, all right, I'm in. I'm all good. I want to do this. You're talking about knowing your exit as an entrepreneur. Did you ever feel like you wanted to make a faster exit? Like, did you ever want to just quit? And, you know, whether it was a hardship, whether it was a mistake or a bad turn of events, there was ever a time that you felt like maybe I don't want to be in this position anymore?
No, I never felt that way as it relates to an exit. I probably did have those feelings based on the market that we're in at the time. And I do remember since we served the large pharmaceutical community back in the early 2000s, things were going really well. And they decided they wanted to outsource all of their, you know, external vendors, you know, to underneath, let's say, a Manpower or some other aggregator. And, you know, once that happened, then our gross margins basically dropped, you know, were cut in half. And I thought, man, this business was great, you know, and one day and the next day it wasn't. And so you obviously have a choice at that point in time. You can either, you know, live in the new world or fold up your tent, or you can try to pivot and look at other opportunities where you can regain that gross margin without, you know, significantly changing your business. And obviously we chose the latter. And then during that time frame, I, again, always in the back of my mind, had an opportunity, wanted to sell the business at some point in time. And we were approached a couple of times, one in 2001 and one again in 2008, coincidentally right after 9/11, and then coincidentally right before the banking crisis in 2008. And, you know, our initial offers were great. And then when we came through due diligence and came time to close, you know, those offers dropped, you know, significantly. So obviously we didn't sell during those time frames. But, you know, even after that, you know, it was a learning experience. It was, okay, you know, they really are focusing on gross margin, or they're really focusing on backlog, you know, so we really have to, you know, then, you know, fix, you know, those two things, you know, that give us bigger value. And then thankfully in 2014, you know, we were successful in having an exit.
That really clicked for me there as you were explaining that, how when you kind of begin with the end in mind, when you envision how you want to exit as an entrepreneur, that will actually encourage you to not quit earlier on in the road, because that's not the plan. That's not the vision. And so it's actually, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would see that as a motivator. When you know and you're working toward a goal of how you want to pass on the business, how you want to exit that position, then things that come up, the interruptions, the unexpected, the downturns won't be so motivating to quit at that point, because that's not the plan. Have you found that to be true?
It's true. It's absolutely true. And I think over time, through Sumis, I've, you know, kind of understand, you know, some of the psyches of, you know, the ownership of some of these other companies. And I think what seems to be, what seems to be the best possible outcome for most entrepreneurs is they actually have a life plan. And then within that life plan, they have their business. And then the business plan, you know, helps them achieve their life plan. So for me, you know, it was, you know, wanted to, you know, get out while I could. I still wanted to do other things in my life. You know, I wanted to make sure I had financial stability for my family and everything else. Other people, you know, they have a dream of when they're 60 years old, they want to be in the Bahamas and they want to retire and buy a boat. Where I found that, you know, the folks that don't have a lot of success, it's simply because the business is actually their life. It's everything that they are. So they get tremendous value by having employees look up to them. They get tremendous value seeing, you know, what their business is doing every single day, but it doesn't carry forward to what they want to do with their life. So at the end of the day, they're not thinking, you know, about the future. They're not thinking about how they could possibly exit down the road.
Begin with your life plan and then build your business plan in support of that. If you do it the other way around, then you're going to feel stuck. You're going to feel you're not going to accomplish what you want to accomplish by the end, even though you may have a, by all intents and purposes, a successful business from the outside looking in. It won't be what you actually want in your life. That's a sobering reminder, but I'm glad that you're in the position to encourage businesses around the world to be able to and entrepreneurs to be able to build a life in light of that. Do you have is there a breakthrough moment where you felt like you got the clarity to take your business, whether it's your life plan or your business plan, where you were able to reach a new level? Was there a moment that something really clicked with you, whether it's someone said something or something happened in your business?
I think it was probably after we had the second opportunity to sell and it didn't work out. You know, we had learned a lot, you know, from the first two opportunities to sell. And I think one of the things that I realized that I needed to personally change was I was managing and leading to be liked as opposed to managing and leading to be respected. And I realized, you know, after the second go around that, you know, we need to really change, you know, the way we, you know, operate our business. People have to be held accountable, you know, for you know, P&Ls in their departments and so on and so forth. And it really became this clarifying moment for me where, okay, from now on, we're going to make business decisions that are in the best interest of the company, not the best interest of your department, not the best interest for you personally. Well, for me personally, but for the company itself. And I think that was a clarifying moment for me. And then that basically drove us, over the next 6 to 7 years, to grow our business, to acquire other companies, and eventually have a successful exit.
That's an important distinction, leading to be liked versus leading to be respected. Could you help profile maybe an entrepreneur who is leading to be liked versus an entrepreneur who is leading to be respected? What are some of the differences there? What do each of those types look like?
Well, the person that's leading to be liked is probably not a fast decision maker. Probably won't make many decisions at all, in fact. Will when they do make a decision, they potentially may change their mind on that decision because the liked manager or the leader rather, will make a decision, but then there may be a direct report that is very upset with the decision, and that person then goes and talks to the leader, and then suddenly, it gets watered down, the decision, or there's a compromise, or there's something else that goes on. The manager that leads to be respected is somebody who, again, is looking out for the best interest of the company. So that's the market, that's the client, that's the employee, that's the overall team. That person usually has a team of advisors. That person usually has set the tone and the agenda of what needs to be done and how fast decisions need to be made. And that person's not afraid to make the decision, even if they're wrong, because they have people that are accountable that they have respect from, that will help them solve additional problems as they come up. And I think what happens with the liked manager is that you then have, highly productive employees in your company that over time become less and less productive because they know that mediocrity is accepted in the organization from others that aren't pulling their weight. And at the end of the day, you just have an engagement process that becomes, more negative over time. And meanwhile, everybody likes the person. Oh, he's a really nice manager, he's a really nice owner. He's a great guy or a great woman, but the business isn't going anywhere. It's kind of stuck. And then over time, the good people tend to leave. And I think, if you're able to be respected and make the difficult decisions based on the best interest of the company, then usually the good people, feel motivated to continue to stay because they know they're, part of a mission and they feel valued and so on and so forth.
Well, that sounds like a really good litmus test. If you're thinking about, if you're an entrepreneur and you feel like maybe your workers have lost motivation, if you also struggle to make decisions or stick with them, it may be that you are a like leader. That's some important things to consider. Thanks for fleshing that out. That's a good distinction. So, if you were to kind of use only one word, what character trait would you say is essential for a successful entrepreneur? If you were to boil it down and all of your advisement and your teaching, what would you say is the one word essential trait of an entrepreneur?
Purpose.
Purpose. Going back to the lead with your why, knowing why you're doing this, having your purpose.
Yeah, purpose is, I think, over time, probably the primary word that I think needs to be understood by, everybody. And that's why, first of all, do you have a service or a product that somebody's willing to pay money for? Right. So what is the purpose? What are you trying to solve or who are you trying to help? And then because you have a purpose, it then becomes very easy to articulate, what your company's vision and mission is in very simplistic terms. And we've seen a lot of businesses that have their mission statements on the wall and their, couple paragraphs or their, 5 or 6 sentences or whatever. And you read it and it all sounds wonderful and nice, but you're like, geez, I'm not sure I know what they really do, right? And, in our world, in the clinical trial business, we worked on oncology trials. So we were able to articulate our purpose, which is, we are really helping companies hopefully save the lives or improve the quality of life of every individual that might be afflicted by this disease. So when our contract research monitor gets on a plane, goes and travels to a clinical site, and they're on the road 5 days a week, it's a tough job. And, but if they have that purpose where, I have to go, I have to make sure I monitor this trial because I want to make sure everything's done right. So hopefully, a life can be saved down the road. That's the company purpose. And I think if people understand that, then it becomes so much easier than to, motivate, manage, and gives that employee again the ability to feel engaged within the business. And so if you don't have the purpose, then it's very hard to explain what you try to do when you're on that elevator with somebody, or when you're talking to a client, or when you're trying to attract good quality people to come work for you.
Have you found entrepreneurs who are maybe even years into their business and still haven't been able to articulate a purpose? Or do you think at that point it has to have been decided to be able to be at that point?
I found that, sure. And their purpose could be a little bit different, right? But it's not going to help them in the long run. I mean, their purpose could be, grow. We're just going to grab any company we can get our hands on, and we're going to work with them. And even if we're working for free, we're going to do it. But that purpose doesn't, resonate with the employee long term. So I think deep down, everybody would have a purpose to go to start a company. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But sure. I guess my purpose is more defined as, what is it you're ultimately trying to do in the marketplace, and how can you sell that and market that, brand that, and translate that back to, your employees as you try to grow your business.
That's helpful to think of the employees who are buying into the vision, who are making it their own. If their purpose is just to grow and make a big company, an employee that's not going to last as long as defining your purpose as solving a problem in the world. So then your people who join you recognize that is a problem. I want to be a part of the solution. And then they're all in with the business, with the purpose. That's a powerful word, purpose. And I'm glad that you were able to boil that down to that one concept, which is so fundamental and carries you out throughout your whole career. Well, we've been talking with Jim Baker, CEO of Sumas Development Group, a business advisor across all the areas of that make a successful business. And I feel like we've been getting a little bit of free advisement here today. I feel a little bit spoiled by you, Jim, and I appreciate your time here. We are the Igniting Souls publishing agency. And so naturally, we love hearing people's stories, hearing people's what makes them tick, what they love to share with people, their message, their platform. And we always encourage people to write books, and everyone has a story in them. Do you have a book, and if not, what would that book be?
I do have a book. Unfortunately, I didn't know about you all when I wrote my book back in 2017, I think. But basically, it's When the Plan Falls Apart, the Adventure Begins. So we kind of talked a little bit about that before, where I tried to take, real life business experiences where things didn't go according to plan, and what we did to solve those problems going forward. And it basically all started with I take all my kids when they graduate college on a trip. And so my son had graduated, and we were in Ireland, actually, and we were renting a car and driving around. And I ended up getting two flat tires to keep the story short. And we were changing the tires, and obviously you can only change one because there's only one spare. So I had to call the rental company, and we were out in the middle of nowhere in Ireland, and said to my son, "Hey, man, I'm sorry that, all this happened." He goes, "Don't worry about it. When the plan falls apart, the adventure begins." And wow, that's very profound from my son. And then I come to learn later on, he picked that up off of a Netflix movie from the Patagonia founders that traveled from California all the way down to Chile. So I ended up watching that movie, but that was their primary They were taking a trip on a boat at one point in time, and the whole mast fell down and everything else. And, you know, that's where he got that quote. So
when the plan falls apart, the adventure begins. I love it. That's so good. Well, I'm excited to learn more about that. I'll definitely point our people to that book as well. When the plan falls apart, the adventure begins. Jim Baker, CEO of Sumas Development Group and author, Jim, I've highly valued your time here today and really appreciate you sharing your wisdom with our entrepreneurs listening in today. And thank you so much for being here. We wish you well in your future endeavors and in the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It's been a pleasure, and good luck to you.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Well, this has been the Igniting Souls Show. This is an episode part of our Ignited Entrepreneur series, where we talk with business professionals around the world. And today we... Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.